Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Build a Rocket Ship, Engineering for Young Astronauts, a podcast for kids.
Ready for liftoff?
Let's do it.
You sent us on a mission to explore the vast world of rocket ships.
Yeah.
Trust me, this is one journey you don't want to miss.
I'm buckled up.
We're diving deep into the history, the engineering, and even taking a peek at what the future holds for space exploration.
What's fascinating is that the story of rockets begins long before the space race.
Right.
Even before the Saturn V graced the launch pad. We're talking centuries ago with the invention of something surprisingly simple. The fire arrow.
Okay, fire arrows. Seems almost quaint compared to, you know, a rocket capable of reaching the moon. What's the connection?
Think of the fire arrow as the ancestor of modern rockets developed in ancient China.
Right.
These early weapons used a rudimentary form of gunpowder.
Wow.
For propulsion. Mm. And their influence didn't stay put. The Mongols, for instance, adopted this technology, helping to spread the knowledge of rockets across Eurasia. The fascinating example of how innovations can transcend borders and time.
So from ancient battlefields to the edge of space, talk about a legacy. Did this knowledge eventually make its way to Europe?
Absolutely. European explorers like William of Rubruck, who traveled to the Mongol court in the 13th century, documented these early rockets, introducing them to a wider audience. These accounts sparked curiosity and experimentation.
Yeah.
Laying the groundwork for Europe's own exploration of rocketry.
It's amazing to think that something as complex as a rocket can trace its roots back to these early inventions.
It's a testament to human ingenuity, really. Each advancement, no matter how small, built upon the knowledge that came before it.
Makes sense.
Take, for example, the work of Colonel Edward Mounier Boxer in the 19th century. He developed a two-stage rocket, a concept that would later prove essential for achieving orbital flight.
Two-stage rocket. That sounds like a game changer.
Definitely.
How did that innovation influence later developments in rocketry, especially as we entered the 20th century?
Colonel Boxer's two-stage rocket was a pivotal step towards the multi-stage rockets we rely on today. By separating the rocket into stages, each with its own engine and fuel supply, you could discard the dead weight of spent stages as the rocket climbed higher, making the entire system more efficient. This principle became fundamental to reaching orbit as it allowed us to overcome the limitations of early rocket technology.
It's like a relay race, but for rockets. Each stage passes the baton, propelling the spacecraft closer and closer to its destination. It makes you wonder, though, if during these early days of experimentation, anyone dared to dream about actually reaching space.
You're absolutely right. It wasn't just about the engineering. The late 19th and early 20th centuries saw the rise of science fiction authors like Jules Verne and H.G. Wells.
Oh, yeah.
Their imaginative tales of space travel captured the public's imagination and, in a way, provided a roadmap for aspiring rocket scientists and engineers.
So even before the technology existed, there was a sense of wonder and possibility surrounding space travel.
Oh, absolutely.
It's incredible how fiction can inspire real-world innovation.
Absolutely. And as technology advanced, the challenges of actually designing and building rockets capable of withstanding the extreme conditions of space came into sharper focus.
Right.
Think about it. You're essentially creating a vehicle that needs to operate in a vacuum, withstand extreme temperatures, and carry a significant payload.
Right. It's not like you can just slap some wings on a car and expect it to fly to the moon.
Yeah.
What are some of the key engineering challenges that had to be overcome to make spaceflight a reality?
Well, it's a complex engineering puzzle, to say the least.
Right.
Take, for instance, the challenge of balancing weight and strength.
Okay.
Every gram of material added to a rocket increases the amount of fuel needed to lift it, which in turn adds more weight.
Right.
It's a constant battle for efficiency.
So it's not just about building a rocket that's strong enough, but also one that's as lightweight as possible.
Yeah.
How do engineers tackle that challenge?
It's all about material science.
Okay.
Early rockets relied heavily on metals like steel and aluminum for their structural integrity.
Yeah.
But as we aimed for higher altitudes and heavier payloads, these materials proved limiting.
Because they were too heavy.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's where composite materials came into play.
Okay.
These materials, like carbon fiber composites, offer a remarkable strength to weight ratio,
Right.
making them ideal for spacecraft construction.
Okay.
They're stronger than traditional metals, pound for pound, allowing for lighter and more efficient rocket designs.
Okay, so lighter and stronger, that makes sense.
Right.
But I've also heard a lot of buzz about this material called graphene.
Yeah.
Is it really the game changer everyone says it is?
Graphene is definitely one to watch.
Okay.
Imagine a material that's not only incredibly strong and lightweight, but also possesses unique properties that could revolutionize space travel.
Okay.
One of the biggest challenges for long-duration missions, for example, is protecting astronauts from harmful radiation in space.
Right.
Graphene shows incredible promise as a radiation shielding material.
Wow.
Potentially offering a much lighter and more effective alternative to traditional shielding methods.
So it's like a super material with the potential to make spacecraft safer for humans.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about other applications?
We've only begun to scratch the surface of what graphene can do.
Okay.
Its unique properties could revolutionize spacecraft telecommunications, allowing for faster and more reliable communication with Earth.
Right.
And then there's the possibility of using graphene in advanced propulsion systems.
Okay.
We're talking about potentially game-changing technologies like ion thrusters, which use electric fields to accelerate ions and create thrust, offering incredible fuel efficiency for deep space missions.
It sounds like graphene could be the key to unlocking even more ambitious space missions in the future.
That's the exciting part.
Yeah.
As we develop new materials and technologies, we open up new possibilities for exploration.
Speaking of pushing boundaries, let's talk about the actual process of building a rocket.
Okay.
I have this image in my head of these massive factories with rockets being assembled like cars on an assembly line.
Yeah.
Is that even remotely accurate?
It's a common misconception.
Okay.
But rocket assembly is far more complex than a typical assembly line.
Right.
While there are elements of that.
Yeah.
Traditionally, rocket assembly facilities were these enormous structures designed to accommodate the sheer size of these rockets.
Right.
Think of NASA's vehicle assembly building a landmark in itself.
Right. These things are huge.
Exactly.
Okay.
But we're also seeing a shift toward more distributed manufacturing.
Interesting.
Different components of a rocket might be manufactured in specialized facilities around the world before being transported to a central location for final assembly. This allows for greater specialization and efficiency in the manufacturing process.
So instead of one giant factory, it's more like a global collaboration,
right,
to build these incredible machines.
Yeah.
And what about the actual construction techniques? Are we still talking about welding metal together, or have things advanced beyond that?
The manufacturing techniques have come a long way.
Okay.
We're now seeing innovations like 3D printing, also known as additive manufacturing, being used to create complex rocket components with incredible precision.
So we're actually printing rocket parts.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's pretty remarkable.
Wow.
3D printing allows engineers to create parts with intricate designs and geometries that would be impossible to manufacture using traditional methods.
Right.
This not only improves the performance and efficiency of rocket components, but also opens up new possibilities for design and innovation.
It sounds like we're moving away from those bulky metal rockets of the past towards more efficient and sophisticated designs.
Exactly. And it's not just about the exterior.
Right.
As we set our sights on longer duration missions, the interior design of spacecraft becomes increasingly crucial.
Right.
We're talking about creating environments that are not only functional, but also comfortable and conducive to the well-being of the crew.
So it's not just about getting to space.
Right.
But about making sure astronauts have a sustainable,
right,
and, dare I say, comfortable experience once they're there?
Precisely.
Okay.
Think about ergonomics, lighting,
even
the psychological impact of spending extended periods in confined spaces.
Right.
It's a fascinating aspect of spacecraft design that often gets overlooked.
It makes sense, though.
Yeah.
We're talking about sending humans on journeys that could last months, even years.
Right.
Speaking of ensuring those journeys are successful, I imagine safety is paramount.
Absolutely.
When it comes to rocket science.
We're talking about vehicles operating in extremely harsh environments with very little room for error. Rigorous testing is absolutely essential at every stage of the design and manufacturing process.
So what does that testing look like?
Do
they strap a rocket to a giant treadmill and see what happens?
Well, it's not quite that simple, but you get the idea.
Okay.
Rocket components are subjected to a battery of tests that simulate the extreme conditions of launch and spaceflight.
Okay.
This includes vibration testing to ensure they can withstand the intense shaking during liftoff.
Wow.
Thermal testing to replicate the extreme temperatures of space.
Yeah.
and vacuum chamber testing to see how they perform in the absence of an atmosphere.
It sounds incredibly thorough.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even with all that testing, things can still go wrong?
Right.
Are there ways to design rockets with built-in redundancies or safety features to mitigate those risks?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Redundancy is key in spacecraft design.
Okay.
Many critical systems, like propulsion and life support, are designed with backups in case the primary system fails. This ensures that even if one system goes down, the mission can still continue.
Right.
And more importantly, the crew can return home safely.
So it's like having a backup generator for your backup generator.
You could say that.
Okay.
It's all about minimizing risk and maximizing the chances of a successful mission.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So we've got these incredibly complex machines designed to withstand some of the harshest conditions imaginable.
Right.
But not all rockets are created equal. Right?
Right.
We've got different types for different purposes, don't we?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The type of rocket you use depends entirely on the mission objectives.
Right.
Are you sending a satellite into orbit?
Okay.
Launching a crew to the International Space Station? Or perhaps embarking on a deep space exploration mission? Each of these scenarios requires a different type of rocket with different capabilities.
Okay, so let's break down the rocket family tree, shall we?
Sure.
What are some of the main types of rockets and what makes them unique?
Let's start with the workhorses of space travel. Launch vehicles. These are the rockets responsible for carrying payloads, like satellites or spacecraft, into orbit or beyond.
Right.
Within this category, we have two main types.
Okay.
Expendable launch vehicles and reusable launch vehicles.
Okay, so expendable versus reusable.
Right.
What's the difference there?
Expendable launch vehicles, or ELVs, are designed for single use.
Okay.
Think of rockets like the Delta family, which have been instrumental in launching numerous satellites and scientific missions.
Right.
Once their mission is complete, these rockets typically burn up in the atmosphere or splash down in the ocean.
So one glorious mission and then they're retired.
Precisely.
Okay.
Reusable launch vehicles, or ROVs on the other hand, are designed to be flown multiple times.
Okay.
SpaceX's Falcon 9 is a prime example of this.
Right.
After launching its payload, the first stage of the Falcon 9 returns to Earth.
Wow.
Landing either on a drone ship or back at the launch site.
Wow.
Ready for refurbishment and another launch.
That's incredible. It seems like reusability would be a game changer in terms of reducing the cost of space travel.
Exactly.
Okay.
Reusability has the potential to revolutionize space travel by making it more affordable and sustainable.
Right.
By recovering and reusing rocket components, we can significantly reduce the cost of each launch, opening up more opportunities for exploration and scientific discovery.
It's like the difference between buying a new car for every trip versus having one you can rely on for multiple journeys.
Right.
It makes those trips to space a little less exclusive.
Right.
So we've got these different types of launch vehicles.
Right.
But what about the engines themselves?
Yeah.
What's actually providing the thrust to get these massive machines off the ground and into space?
The heart of a rocket. Its propulsion system.
Okay.
There are three main types of rocket propulsion.
Okay.
Liquid propellant, solid propellant, and hybrid.
Okay.
Each has its advantages and disadvantages, making them suitable for different types of missions.
Okay, let's break down those different propulsion systems. Okay. What's the deal with liquid propellant rockets?
So liquid propellant rockets are known for their control and precision.
Okay.
They use a combination of liquid fuel and a liquid oxidizer.
Right.
Which are pumped into a combustion chamber where they ignite to produce thrust.
Okay.
The ability to throttle the engines, meaning adjust the amount of thrust produced, makes them ideal for maneuvers in space.
So it's like having a car with a sensitive gas pedal.
Right.
Allowing for precise adjustments in speed and direction.
Exactly.
Right.
Liquid propellant rockets are like the nimble athletes of the rocket world.
Right.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you have solid propellant rockets.
Okay.
Which are simpler in design.
Okay.
But pack a powerful punch.
Okay.
They use a solid fuel mixture that burns consistently, producing a large amount of thrust in a short amount of time.
So less about finesse and more about raw power.
Precisely.
Okay.
Solid propellant rockets are often used for the initial boost phase of a launch, providing that surge of energy needed to overcome Earth's gravity.
Okay.
Think of them as the sprinters of the rocket world.
Okay.
And then we have hybrid rockets.
Okay.
Which, as their name suggests, combine elements of both liquid and solid propellant systems.
The best of both worlds.
They try to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the benefits there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hybrid rockets offer some intriguing advantages.
Okay.
They tend to be safer than solid propellant rockets.
Okay.
Because the fuel and oxidizer are stored separately, reducing the risk of accidental ignition.
Right.
And while not as throttleable as liquid propellant rockets.
Okay.
They offer more control than their solid-fueled counterparts.
So it's like finding a balance between power and control.
Exactly. Huh? Hybrid rocket technology is still under development.
Okay.
But it holds great promise for future space missions.
It's incredible to think about all the different factors that go into designing and building a rocket.
Yeah.
It's a delicate dance of balancing performance, efficiency, and, of course, safety. But we don't just have one type of rocket for every mission, do we?
Right.
I imagine there are specialized rockets designed for specific tasks.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
While we've been focusing on the rockets designed to reach orbit or beyond,
right,
there's a whole other world of specialized rockets out there.
Okay.
Take sounding rockets, for example.
Sounding rockets?
Yeah.
Those aren't the ones launching satellites, are they?
Not quite.
Okay.
Sounding rockets are smaller rockets designed for vertical launches to study the Earth's upper atmosphere or to conduct microgravity experiments.
Interesting.
They typically reach altitudes of 50 to 1500 kilometers before falling back to Earth.
So they're like the high altitude balloons of the rocket world.
Right.
Gathering valuable data.
Yeah.
But not quite reaching orbit.
A good analogy.
Okay, cool.
Sounding rockets are essential for a variety of scientific research areas, from atmospheric studies to astronomy.
It's amazing how diverse the world of rocketry really is.
It is.
We've talked about launching satellites, exploring other planets.
Right. And now, studying our own atmosphere.
Yeah.
What other specialized rockets are out there?
Well, we can't talk about rockets without mentioning their not-so-peaceful cousin. The military missile.
Right. Those rockets have a slightly different objective.
Well, certainly a different application of this technology.
Yeah.
It's important to acknowledge the role that military research and development has played in advancing rocketry.
Right.
Many of the innovations we see in spaceflight have their roots in defense technologies.
It's a complex legacy, for sure.
Yeah.
But let's shift our focus back to the final frontier.
Okay.
What about those rockets designed to take us beyond Earth's orbit? The interplanetary explorers.
Now we're talking about pushing the boundaries of human ingenuity and ambition.
Right.
Interplanetary missions,
yeah,
whether to the moon, Mars, or beyond,
right,
require spacecraft capable of withstanding the immense challenges of deep space travel.
Right.
We need propulsion systems capable of covering vast distances, life support systems for long-duration missions,
right, and a deep understanding of the hazards of space, from radiation to micrometeoroids.
It's mind-boggling to think about the precision and ingenuity required to send a spacecraft millions of miles and have it land safely on another celestial body.
And you know, it's amazing.
We saw this with the Apollo missions to the moon,
yeah,
and now with the Perseverance rover exploring Mars.
Yeah.
It's clear that we're entering a new era of interplanetary exploration.
Absolutely.
So exciting.
And as we venture further into our solar system and beyond, the challenges become even greater.
Right.
We're not just talking about getting there.
Right.
But about conducting meaningful scientific research.
Right.
Potentially establishing a human presence on other planets and ensuring the long-term sustainability of these missions.
It sounds like we're on the verge of a golden age of space exploration.
It really does.
But also that there are immense challenges ahead.
Yeah.
What are some of the biggest hurdles that we need to overcome to make these ambitious missions a reality?
One of the most pressing issues is radiation shielding. As we venture beyond Earth's protective magnetic field, astronauts are exposed to much higher levels of harmful radiation from the sun and other cosmic sources.
Right.
Developing effective and lightweight shielding materials is crucial for the health and safety of future space travelers.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier, graphene holds immense potential in this area.
Right. Graphene, the wonder material.
Hmm.
But radiation shielding is just one piece of the puzzle, isn't it? What about propulsion systems?
Right.
Traveling those vast distances seems like it would require an enormous amount of fuel.
You're right.
Yeah.
Traditional chemical rockets, while powerful, are limited by their fuel efficiency.
Right.
That's why scientists and engineers are exploring more advanced propulsion systems for deep space missions.
Right.
One promising avenue is ion propulsion, which we touched on earlier.
A quick refresher on how ion propulsion works for those of us who aren't rocket scientists?
Certainly. Ion thrusters use electricity to accelerate ions, creating thrust.
Yeah.
While they produce a relatively small amount of thrust compared to chemical rockets,
right,
their efficiency is remarkable.
Yeah.
They can operate for extended periods using very little propellant.
Wow.
Making them ideal for long-duration missions.
So it's like the difference between a marathon runner and a sprinter?
Right, exactly.
Ion thrusters may not be as fast initially,
yeah,
but their endurance is what makes them game changers for deep space travel.
Precisely.
Okay, wow.
And then we have even more futuristic concepts like nuclear fusion propulsion.
Okay.
Which, if realized, could potentially allow us to travel to other star systems within human lifetimes.
Whoa, interstellar travel. Now that's what I call thinking big.
Right. The possibilities are truly awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
But as we push the boundaries of what's technologically feasible, we also need to consider the ethical and philosophical implications of our actions.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not just about what we can do, but about what we should do. What are some of the ethical considerations surrounding space exploration that we need to address as we venture further into the cosmos?
Well, there are many.
Yeah.
For starters,
yeah,
we need to think about our impact on the celestial bodies we explore.
Right.
Planetary protection is paramount.
Right.
We don't want to contaminate other planets or moons with Earth-based life.
Right.
Potentially jeopardizing the search for extraterrestrial life.
It's like being a guest in someone else's home.
Right.
We want to leave things as we found them.
A good analogy.
Yeah.
And then there are the ethical considerations surrounding human spaceflight itself.
Right.
Long-duration missions pose significant risks to astronauts' physical and mental health.
Right.
As we send humans further into space.
Yeah.
We need to ensure their well-being and address the ethical challenges of prolonged isolation, confinement, and exposure to the hazards of space.
It's a lot to consider.
It is. It is.
But ultimately, these are good problems to have, aren't they?
They are.
It means we're pushing the boundaries of human knowledge and exploration, asking those big questions about our place in the universe.
Absolutely.
It's exciting.
The future of space exploration is filled with incredible possibilities and challenges.
Yeah.
From developing sustainable ways to live and work in space, to unraveling the mysteries of the cosmos, the journey ahead is sure to be as awe-inspiring as it is thought-provoking.
Well, there you have it, folks.
There you go.
From the earliest fire arrows to the potential for interstellar travel, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into the world of rocket ships.
We did.
We've explored the history, the engineering, and even the ethical considerations of this remarkable field.
It's amazing.
What stood out to you the most? What questions are you left pondering?
Well, I think what always amazes me is the boundless capacity for human ingenuity.
Yeah.
From those early pioneers who dared to dream of flying to the brilliant minds pushing the boundaries of space exploration today, it's a testament to our relentless pursuit of knowledge and our desire to explore the unknown.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
And who knows what incredible discoveries await us just beyond the horizon. Maybe one day we'll look back at this conversation as the early chapters in a much grander story of humanity's journey among the stars.
I like that.
Until then, keep looking up and never stop exploring.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.